You're listening to an Edit Audio original. Edit Audio.
I think we just found comfort in each other and knowing that I understand him and he understands me. And it feels like, you know, we could do everything and no one would judge us. And so I kind of like just allowed everything to happen without worrying what's going to happen next.
You're listening to Hope This Finds Me Well, a podcast about the past and future versions of ourselves and what we want to tell them. I'm Sophie, and I'm joined for a final time with Maria and Steph.
Hi.
Ooh, I want to say hi happily, but I'm sad.
We sit down with people who previously sent messages to their future selves. We want to find out why they wrote the letter and how they feel about it. Over the course of the season, we've heard stories about grief, family, identity, faith, education. And there is one big part of life that keeps coming up time and time again. What do y'all think it is?
Love.
Love. And today, our final guest shares a beautiful, vivid, and maybe a little sad snapshot of a romantic story. But before we get to the interview, you know, this is the final episode of the season. And in episode one, Maria kind of set us up with this challenge to write ourselves a letter. So
yeah, way to go, Maria.
Should we talk about them? I hope that you've gotten them back now.
Yes.
Am I allowed to read mine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
there are no rules.
I haven't read it yet. I literally have no idea what I wrote about. Obviously, remember, I left it to the last minute and I just like wrote.
I'm so excited.
Okay, I'm gonna live read it.
Yeah, I'm so excited
to hear other people's thoughts.
So I didn't write a dear or anything.
Who are you speaking to?
It's 8:04 p.m. on Sunday. It feels like it's both 3 p.m. and 1 a.m. at the same time, but not like it's 8 p.m. Time is so weird lately. I can see memories from last year on my phone, and they feel like they happened 2 weeks ago and 20 years ago all at once. That's something I'm trying to get better at, feeling two things at once. This pandemic has really driven that home. How can you be happy eating a good meal at home while also feeling sad that you're not eating with others? How can you be happy ordering a celebratory pizza while some friends don't have access to food? How can you be proud of the amount you've worked out while also feeling guilty you have time to do things like work out while other people are working from home and parenting? How can you be proud of your company's first full year of business while also being scared for the economy? How can you be proud of yourself for making progress but also feel like your mental health is worse than ever? How can you feel like the world is exploding, but also get through each day? Your sister got married. Colleen got married. Your sister bought a house. Colleen got pregnant. How can you feel so over the fucking moon happy for them and also so incredibly sad for missing out? Someone from her told me that having universal pain manifest in personal pain means you have strong empathy, which is a nice sentiment. Her is a dating app, by the way.
Oh.
Which is a nice sentiment to come from a dating app, lol. The problem with empathy or feeling the global feels during a pandemic is that you recognize more than ever how much the most vulnerable people and the ones doing the most work are also the ones who get the least opportunities in life. If you are the COVID careful person in your family, you're probably the one who's the most sick, and you're probably going to be the one missing Christmas dinner. If you're the person in the room speaking up, you're probably the minority and you're probably going to feel it. How can we make other people care? And why is it so annoying that we have to ask them to? This year has been weird for sure. I've been home in Montreal for 5 months straight now. That may not sound like a lot to you depending on what your life is like now, but last year I was at home less than I was away from it. I still can't totally wrap my head around the amount I traveled or what amount of travel I will have in my future. In a lot of ways, 2019 was a really terribly hard year. My Nana died, my company grew quickly, and I had difficult international clients. My love life was obsolete. And in those same ways, it was a good year. I spent months taking care of my Nana before she died. My company grew quickly. I had difficult international clients. My love life was obsolete. Okay, that last one still feels bad. Let me know if you find a way to successfully get it in during the pandemic. I guess my point for all of this is that everything is terrible and great all at the same time. In a lot of ways, 2020 feels like an objectively terrible year, but in a lot of ways, it has been okay. I can't believe you turned 30 this year. I'm so proud of you, or us, me, ? I truly have been waiting for the rug to be pulled out from under me or for me to get hit by a bus or die or something. I never imagined my life after 30. A lot of that is from trauma and representation, but a lot of that is just accepting that there's a way to live as myself as an adult and still be okay. I'm so happy you're okay. I'm so happy you're yourself, and I'm so happy you didn't listen to others who told you that you couldn't look, love, or behave the way you did. Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Oh my God. Holy moly. That Is it done? Sorry.
No. I'm so happy you made it to 30 and hope someday. Oh my God.
Oh, Steph.
You don't have to finish it if you don't want.
No, it's a good cry.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you made it to 30 and hope someday soon you can start picturing a future that includes you.
Wow. Thank you.
It's not over.
Oh, sorry.
Debbie's like, I have things to say.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about it.
I don't have many questions for you because right now I have especially not been able to think about the future. But I hope you're still waking up each day, drinking coffee, listening to music, and making things. I hope you still sing when people think it's annoying and that you're still a weirdo. I hope you still have money to donate and are engaged in your community in a way that feels nice. And I hope you feel loved and supported by your chosen fam and that they've been checking in on you as much as you've been checking in on them. I love you. Thanks for always being my biggest supporter and my favorite person in the world. Steph.
Aww. Oh my God.
That's a good letter.
That's that a really good letter.
So good.
But the weird thing is I remember being so annoyed that I had to write this and being like, I have nothing to write about. And that's why I started the letter with like the time and where it was sitting. Because so many of the letters that we had read like started that way.
What I find interesting is that as you're reading it, I have my letter like out on my screen right now. And there's like similar themes. And I think it's maybe because, not to ruin the illusion of this podcast, but because we wrote these letters nearing the end of 2020, we automatically did like a recap of the year. And I'm saying because that's what I did too. I kind of like, I talked about what the year felt like, especially because 2020 was just objectively a shit show. I don't know, Maria, if you kind of did it in the moment, in the day, or were you kind of like looking big picture type of things?
Yeah, I was in the moment. Sorry.
No,
to
no.
break the trend.
But maybe it's because you and I don't write letters to ourselves as often as Maria does.
Right.
So maybe it's like we felt like we have to cover like all this ground where Maria like has already written one a week ago. You know, she was like, well, I just have to talk about the week.
True, true. Yeah. Obviously, you had like a emotional, I mean we all kind of had an emotional reaction to that. It was beautiful, but how did you feel? Like, describe what you were feeling.
I feel all of these things still. I feel like really proud of myself, and I feel happy that I was able to like acknowledge that in this letter. Like, I'm the happiest I've ever been. How cool is that?
That's great.
Yeah,
to say.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I also love the, and maybe I should just read my letter as well. There are similar themes of feeling two things at once, which is something that I've been like working on too. It's not as long.
That was something though. I didn't think I had anything to say. And then I started writing and I just like kept writing.
I had the same.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess this is my letter. Dear future me, today I was tasked by Maria to write a letter to you for a podcast we've been putting together called Hope This Finds Me Well. As weird as this feels to write to yourself in the future, I think you'll appreciate it. As I'm writing this, I'm having such a hard time knowing what to refer to you as. I feel like I'm writing to a completely different person. But it's going to be the same old me opening this and reading it. This is hurting my brain to think about. Anyways, it's hard for me to put into words how weird and sad this year was, for so many reasons. But the one thing I want you to hold on to in the future is that there were moments of joy and love and beauty in 2020. Mm-hmm. So when you read this letter, I hope you think of those moments. God knows how often you'll think back and remember how awful this year was. So please, whenever you can, just try and think about the good ones. Remember that you finally felt like you were taking the time to do really hard work to work on yourself. You took the time for you. You also took the time to really understand how lucky you were to have such an amazing, supporting, and caring humans in your life. You worked at a job you loved throughout the entire year, and it's made you a more confident person and a more creative person. In what felt like the hardest year ever, you have never felt more love. Oh. Okay, this is getting a little too deep, and I'm scared we're going to have to read this out loud on the podcast. But this wasn't too hard. Please start doing this more, future Sophie. I love you. Signed, 2020 Sophie. P.S. Call your grandma more.
Sophie, that's so nice. Oh,
that is nice. Yeah, it is kind of similar.
There's like similar themes, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Awfulness and beautiful things can exist at the same time.
Yeah. I think in writing my letter, I was realizing that about 2020, but then I kind of have this moment where I'm like realizing that about the year before too, where I'm like, oh, 2019 was really, really, really hard and like also fine.
Actually, when you were reading that and you started talking about 2019, I'm like, oh, that's interesting that your mind went to 2019, because I just feel like 2020 is on everyone's mind and it's hard to think about life before 2020.
You're so much more philosophical than me. But I just want to ask you, have you called your grandma more?
I have. I literally have.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Wow.
I used to be really bad at it. Also, she sends our entire family like prayer emails every day.
Cute. Also, I love that your grandma is emailing.
Yeah, she's learning how to Zoom and everything. She's great.
Oh my God.
But every time I see like a prayer email, sometimes it's a reminder to be like, okay, you should give her a call if you can.
Aww.
So yeah. So I'm glad I added that in there because I do think that was a little bit of an accountability thing.
Yeah.
Hey, and we both talked about our grandparents.
Yeah. Cool.
Another connection.
Yeah. Maria.
Well, I am going to redact some of my letter, I'm afraid. This is parts of the letter.
Okay. Okay. That's fair.
Dear future me, you're writing this as part of a task set in our first episode of, wait for it, our bloody podcast about this very thing. Hopefully it'll be out later in the season. I guess you know this, you won't have forgotten already, but it feels informal somehow to just launch into other life stuff. I will say that reading so many public letters and speaking to some of their authors has kind of impacted how I think about future me and what to write. I'm sure none of mine would ever be of interest to another me reading this as research for guests. My previous ones were so cringy teenage and honestly there's never anything crazy going on in my life to write about. I feel like a lot of people we've spoken to have either had amazing or awful days and want to record it. Mine are just about snacks and TV, haha. Today I went on a run. I did a mile in 10 minutes. That was more or less it, and my legs really ache now. Maybe by the time you'll get this, you'll have managed to go further, or complete it quicker, or maybe just not hurt so much after. And now I can do half an hour straight. So that feels really cool.
Wow.
And then I write a load of really personal stuff, and then I say, what could I read out publicly? I'm so proud of myself and the team for making this happen. I always hated teamwork in school, and I have a tendency to want to take everything on myself. But over the past few years, I have started to allow myself to collaborate, and it's so rewarding. Oh my God, I'm tearing up now. Did not expect Aww. That. That's written in the letter. If you haven't told the story about blank, you should probably do that now. Lots of love, Maria X.
Whoa. Okay.
What?
And then a picture of me as I wrote the letter, and I'm in exactly the same outfit I'm wearing now, which is just tragic.
Yes.
That's so cute. I feel like yours was much more in the moment.
Yeah.
Steph and I went the route of, let's think about our lives.
Yeah, retrospective.
Maria was like, yeah. Okay, what is this blank story? Who is blank?
So at the beginning of 2020, kind of started like seeing somebody. And then before we like had a date, I wrote him a future me letter for like a month's time. Thinking if we fall in love, this will be like amazing. And if not, then it'll just be like this cute thing that this random woman did.
Wait, did you send it to him?
I sent it.
Oh my God.
But then the day came and went. We were no longer seeing each other, but we were still kind of in touch. So I was like, oh, he'll just bring it up. And literally nothing. And I was like, oh God, what did I write in it? Was it like so awful? So I logged back into
Wait, you didn't send it to yourself?
No. Or keep a record, which I really should have.
Oh my God.
And then I looked onto my account and I actually scheduled it for a year and a month. So he's going to get this random letter about like our second or third date a year
later. I kind of love that. I feel like I would kind of love getting that letter.
I almost like it better a year and a bit because I think if it's less, it might feel like a little more yearning related. Whereas like if it's more time has passed, it's like almost like a nice memory.
Yeah.
You know, if an ex gets in touch with you right after you break up, you're like, ugh, even if they say the nicest thing ever, you're kind of like, oh, this is annoying. What's your expectation here? Whereas like if they reach out like a year and a half later, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, how are you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that. Can you please report back to us?
Yes, when, I'll give
it. If and when they reach out to
Hope
you.
Hope this finds me well, 2022.
Yeah.
Well, fleeting romance and potential getting back in touch is quite a good little segue to our guest today.
Yes.
So we spoke to Kim in the Philippines, who sent her letter exactly 1 year into the future.
My name is Kim, and I'm 28 years old. I just love writing, although I'm not a professional writer. My memory's pretty bad, so that's why I make it a habit to keep planners or journals. Also, it's nice to know how I personally changed since I wrote it.
Okay, so maybe Kim says that she's not a professional writer, but to be honest, I think this letter proves that she could be.
Yeah.
Have a listen and see what you think.
Hey, girl. Today is July 16th of 2019. You were confused while you were writing this. It's been 3 days since you and Alex were together. Out at 6 in the evening, you were hugging him from the back as he was driving the motorbike. You were strolling in the bustling street of Ho Chi Minh City. You couldn't explain how it felt, but you felt it. You felt yourself smiling as he went faster and the wind brushed colder on your cheeks. You would rest her head on his back and close her eyes and just feel how fast you two were going. It was genuine. He knew it. You wanted every atom of him, every breath, every scar, everything. But you knew you can't. You knew he wouldn't stay long. You knew he was going to leave anyway, but for the first time in so long, you allowed yourself to accept. You finally told yourself that you knew it was going to hurt like a bitch, but you couldn't care less. You wanted to feel it. You needed to feel it. You wanted to prove that it's real what you're feeling. You started to cry, and no matter how hard you deny it, right at that moment, you already knew it was real. He will always be a part of your life, and that's okay. At this moment, we have no idea where you're going to be when you get it, but I hope your heart is happy. I hope you two are still getting in touch with each other, and I hope you got that goals for yourself. I hope you're trying to allow yourself more and that it's okay to hurt. Just make sure the person is worth every tear and it's a pain where you learn from it. When you get this, you'll know what I'm talking about. I love you. I hope by now you love yourself more.
What a nice letter. It started as like a poem. I felt like I was like in a movie or something. Like I could feel it, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
When you got it back, did you have that same reaction that like you felt it really sort of filmic around you or take you right back to that moment?
Well, to be honest, when I got it, I didn't finish reading it because I knew what was it about.
Oh.
And I just didn't want to remember about it. But I only read the whole thing when I got the email about what we're doing.
Oh my God.
To be honest, I cried a little bit. And because, you know, I was writing that in Vietnam, and then the next thing I know, I was home and I was missing the place. And I kind of like remembered everything from that day. But it was a very good feeling because I felt like I relived it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that we kind of made you relive that. I hope you were, you know, you found some positive things about rereading it.
I mean, there are joyful parts, I think.
Yes, there are.
Wait, I feel like I need to get a better understanding. So did you know, like, you were in Vietnam when you wrote this?
Yes.
And the reason that you knew that there was a time limit on this experience or relationship was because you knew that you were leaving Vietnam?
Actually, he was. When I met him, it was both our second month in Vietnam. We were both foreigner. He was only planning to work there for 6 months. So I knew that our time would be limited. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like just made myself understand that it's not something to last. So I didn't want to like attach myself to him or to the experience. However, I think, you know, like I said, we were two foreigners in a foreign city. We don't understand the language. I think we just found comfort in each other and knowing that I understand him and he understands me. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, you know, we could do everything and no one would judge us. And so I kind of like just allowed everything to happen without worrying what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that is like kind of the nice thing about finding love abroad is that you're both kind of in this like experience where a lot of the times you both don't know too much about like, you know, what's going on, or like you don't know the language, and then you kind of, you know, hold on to each other in that way because like you're kind of like leaning on each other.
Exactly.
I feel that way about COVID.
Yeah. That is one of my questions. I'm like, did you stop traveling because of COVID, or were you just like doing a quick trip to Vietnam, or were you like traveling Asia?
No, actually, I went there for work.
Okay.
And my contract just ended December of 2019.
Wow.
And then I just went home. And then, you know, luckily I went home because if I didn't, I would have been, you know, stuck there with all of this happening.
Yeah.
Wow.
So do you still keep in touch with Alex?
Actually, no. That's actually one of the reasons I didn't want to finish reading the letter.
Yeah.
You know, when I finished reading it, I realized that I was writing that, and we never knew that it was going to be the last time that we see each other.
Oh.
And I remember watching Grey's Anatomy, and I believe it was Meredith Grey.
Yep.
Who said that you never really remember the last time, because at that moment, you never really don't have any idea that it was going to be the last time. And, you know, from a lot of the memories from that day are still vivid to me. I can remember exactly everything that happened. Only difference is we both didn't know that it was going to be the last time.
Mm-hmm.
So we were together for 2 days and we never talked about what we want. We never talked about what's gonna happen after this day. Or, you know, we just let things happen. And I guess we just kind of decided on our own a couple of weeks later that, you know, that's it. We just kind of knew that it was over without even talking about it. And even if it ended, for me, our story will still remain one of the greatest story I'd keep for the rest of my life.
Do you think there is almost like some positive things about you both not knowing that it was your last day? So you got to like really just have a regular day. Like there wasn't that heavy weight of like, oh my God, this is our last time, so we need to make every second perfect. You were just like able to kind of just like have a day together and not worry about that. Or do you, in hindsight, still wish that you kind of knew that was going to be your last time?
Actually, no, I wouldn't change a thing. Days before going to his city where he works, I made plans. I made a list of like the places we would go to, the things we would do, but none of it was followed. We didn't follow any of it. We just kind of like, okay, hey, let's go. We took a nap and then we woke up and then we just rode his motorbike and just drove around the city. And then it rained, but then, you know, we kept walking to a park, even if, you know, people are looking at us or laughing at us. We just didn't care. And, you know, it's like the simple things that makes it great.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever consider getting back in touch with him? Or is that just a hard no?
I guess, yeah, I would be open to, you know, talking to him again, because it was our decision. And I couldn't blame him if he wasn't ready for anything, because I wasn't. We kind of just decided that we both wanted to just have fun, and we didn't want anything that would complicate things between the two of us.
Have you written any other letters about Alex?
Actually, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I have. After I got back here in the Philippines, I just, you know, I think I wrote like 2 or 3 letters for him. But it's just on my journal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel like you should be like a romantic comedy writer. Can I ask how you guys met?
Yes. He was also there for work. Prior to going to Vietnam, he was working in China, and he just, you know, decided that he wanted to like switch place. And on the other hand, I was invited by a friend to work there. And I just, you know, I just took the opportunity because I thought it would be fun to be in another city. And yeah, we met at a bar. I was alone, he was alone, and we both just enjoyed the music, and yeah, that's how we met.
Isn't this just like the most rom-com Hollywood meet-cute ever?
Yeah, totally.
Two strangers in a foreign city, drinking at a bar, bonding over the music.
Yeah, I feel like I go to the bar alone like all the time and no one ever talks to me. It's like part of the reason I go to the bar alone, but
yeah, sad, but I can relate.
So if this is Kim and Alex's meet cute, what's their like falling in love montage?
Well, let's find out.
We just kind of like rode this motorbike, and you know, we were going so fast that, you know, what happens in the movies, like you're going too fast. You thought that you two are unstoppable. Oh. And you just close your eyes, you know, you would think that it would be impossible to happen in real life and that we only see that in movies. But that's exactly how it felt.
Oh, just going to say motorbikes hot. Like guys on bikes hot. Like just going
right?
Was it like a big bike, or was it like a scooter bike? Both hot, but
it was a scooter, because you know scooters are just the common type in Vietnam.
Yeah, totally. Just had to put that out there. I'm sorry. As much as this is very much a love letter. There is parts of it that is about yourself and loving yourself and, you know, setting goals for yourself. So was this a time where you're kind of like thinking about your own self-development? And did you ever make those goals for yourself? Are you a goal-oriented person?
Yeah, definitely. You know, my friend who invited me over, he asked me like, what's holding you back? Why didn't you want to just talk about it with Alex? And I said, no, I came here for work and, you know, to maybe discover what I really want to do in my life. And I just want to be successful career-wise. And, you know, having or being in a relationship isn't one of my goals. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to like ruin it. And I also kind of really didn't, it was my personal decision to not commit because I want to also have a, you know, character development is very important to me. And I wanted to make sure that I improve myself or just have time for myself alone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Before entering a relationship that, you know, I want to last.
Mm-hmm. How can you be with anyone else if you're not good with yourself? I mean, that's what I tell myself, and that's that's what I keep telling myself, and that's why I'm single, but I'm working on myself. But I do think there is truth to that, where you really should be working on yourself before you have to do any work with anyone else. So
yes.
I'm glad you've been able to do that.
Yes, actually, I don't think if I still do this, but I used to like self-sabotage a lot. And, you know, sometimes I feel like if some things are really going well in my life that I don't deserve it. So I know that I have to do something to myself and for myself. So I would learn how to not do that.
Yeah. And the last line of your letter is, I hope by now
you love yourself more.
How's that going?
Yes, actually, I have been letting myself, you know, express my feelings and emotion more. And, you know, I read more books now and just, I just, you know, make time for myself now and make sure that I'm taking care of myself.
Good. When you look back on like being in Vietnam, do you think that making that move helped you be like, hey, I'm focusing on myself, and that was sort of like a pivotal moment for that?
Yes. Being in Vietnam taught me a lot because I was there alone, fended for myself, and, you know, I just took care of myself. I do everything alone. And, you know, the freedom that I felt when I was there was just really amazing.
How are you feeling being back home? Because you had all this independence and you were, you know, maybe like I only live 5 hours away from my family, but I still feel like I am my own. Like that distance allows me to be sort of like an alt version of myself or something, you know?
Yeah, well, I really miss it. And, you know, I have been planning with my friends to go back there once everything is, you know, gone back to normal. Yeah, I just can't wait to go there because, you know, with all of this COVID happening, being stuck at home just kind of like strips out your freedom at some point, and you just kind of want to just go out there. So I'm planning to go back there once everything's, you know, good.
Oh, interesting. I wouldn't have expected that you were planning on going back to Vietnam.
Yeah. You know, you didn't want to finish reading a letter because it was so emotional, but you're already prepared to go back to the location.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I am. Although I'm not planning to see or, you know, message him when I get back. I'm just going to like visit.
Oh, is he still in Ho Chi Minh?
I think he still is.
Oh my God. Oh. Sorry, just like all the possible endings to a rom-com are like floating in my head now. I'm like, you're going to go back to Vietnam. You're going to get out of the airport. He's going to be waiting on a motorbike right when you get out of the airport. You're just going to ride in the wind together.
But if he's not, that's okay.
Yeah. Or you're going to go back there. You're going to get a sick ass job. You're going to look in the mirror and be like, I fucking love myself. And then he's going to drive by and be like, yo, what up, girl?
You'll be like, I don't need you anymore because I love myself.
Yeah. That's true. You know, it's really not a bad thing. I don't hate what happened. It's just that it was sad, but I wouldn't change anything about that day.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about these letters. It's like it puts you back into that spot and it makes you relive it. So that's a hard thing to do when it's something that that's like this.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also nice to note that things can be sad, but also necessary. Yeah. You know, sometimes you have bad feelings associated to something, but you also have good things tied to the same experience that, like, you can recognize that it was important for growth, but also sad.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm so glad you made that letter public because it's too good to only be seen by you.
Thank you.
Oh, Kim.
This was just such a cute and maybe like slightly sad rom-com, but I don't know if it was actually sad in the end.
No.
I feel like it's something she looks back on and she's like, that was a really great experience.
Yeah.
We've kind of left it there and that's okay because at least it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet and sort of echoes this idea. Like, I think we always want to have these nice, beautiful wrap-up endings to things and, like, tie a little bow on it and, like, put it aside. Mm-hmm. But life doesn't work that way. And I don't know. I feel like Kim figured that out. I'm still trying to. But, you know, Kim is like, it was a nice thing. And, you know, she just feels, like, good about it, kind of.
Yeah. Or as Marlo would say, there was a reason and a season.
Yeah, exactly.
Tying it all together.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This was the season finale.
That's a wrap, baby.
That's a wrap, baby.
Well, maybe not a wrap just yet.
Okay.
Wrap of season one. And what were your fave parts? Who's your favorite?
I don't want to pick a favorite. They're all so cool and so good. I mean, I think, okay, I'm gonna go the cheap route and not pick a favorite person. But my favorite thing about this whole experience is that we just got to talk to, like, really regular people who are cool and have cool stories, and I think it's refreshing to just, like, find commonalities in different people's stories. Like, everyone's story is different, but there are so many things that were the same, so many themes that were the same, and I think that was my favorite thing about the season.
Yeah,
I have, like, two big takeaways. One of them is how little time we spend recognizing our personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we talk to people, or, like, almost every time, it was like there were real-time realizations, or, like, through talking to us, they were pointed out how much they've grown, or how things have changed in a positive way, or how cool or awesome they are. And, you know, I want to try to be, like, recognize how awesome I am more.
Yeah.
And my other big takeaway was everyone is so cool and, like, beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I think we always think that there has to be, like, this momentous thing that is huge to write about and whatever, but really just, like, everyday stories are so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I think this podcast and the process of it just pointed out how much beautiful stuff there is in the world that we just kind of gloss over or don't pay attention to, but if we look, it's there.
Yeah,
totally.
Very nicely put. Well, in keeping with our trio dynamic, you two went, you know, big picture, philosophical, big takeaways. I've gone for some, like, key, solid moments.
Yeah. Let's hear them.
Okay. I loved hearing Jessica read her letter. We were all on tenterhooks thinking, I hope this lovely person is not still feeling awful. And then she gives us that moment of, actually, no, I have, like, healed from this and I'm in a really good place. And that was just a lovely, like, human moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that in Natea's episode, she really obviously takes a lot of wisdom from her mum and they have, like, this great relationship. And then at the end, she actually comes in physically and
it's
like joyful, pure joy. Makes me smile
so
every time.
Yeah.
One more is Marie's utter wisdom all the way back in episode one, where she says that love just doesn't run out and that she can give it to all of her kids, all of her grandkids, all of her family. And I think that is just, like,
oh, I just got chills.
Overarching beautifulness.
Yeah.
It's truly hard to find a favorite because it's honestly, I can't believe how lucky we were to speak to so many cool people.
Yeah.
But they're all coming from such a genuine place that's why I think all of these stories felt special. Everyone was being themselves.
Yeah, it's like literal, real representation instead of, like, what we're used to, which is, like, people playing something.
There's so many things that we could all just learn from each other.
You just need to call your grandma.
Call your goddamn grandma.
And, like, another thing that I'm so excited about from this season was that this was our first edit audio original that we put out into the world.
Yeah.
And it's been so awesome to make. And I appreciate everyone that's, like, reached out to us after listening.
Yeah.
So if you did listen and, you know, have feedback or want to tell us that you love us, you should.
Yeah.
You can email us at hello@editaud.io.
or you can follow us on any of our social medias. We have a Twitter and an Instagram and a Facebook and a LinkedIn. And well, I mean, this is the first of many. So I think stay tuned for our next original coming out Raymond soon.
Yeah. And go listen to Maria's other podcast, Equal Parts. I'm just going to plug it for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Equal Parts season 2 is out almost in its entirety now. And it's my own little side hustle. So I would appreciate if you want to hear some more stories of love. It's just romantic.
Mm. I love it. Yeah. Okay. Well, bye, I guess.
Bye.
Oh my God. Final thank yous. Thank you to Kim. Your letter was so bittersweet, and we wish you total happiness. And please let us know if you ever end up writing romantic novels or films. We will be the first to watch and or read. Hope This Finds Me Well is an Edit Audio original production hosted and produced by me, Sophie Shin, Steph Colburn, and Maria Passingham. With endless support from our incredible team, thank you. Thanks also goes to Audio Network for the music, and a big thanks to Matt for creating Future Me and collaborating with us on the show by getting us in touch with the letter writers. If you've been inspired to write yourself a letter, you can visit futureme.org and share your experiences of writing to the future with us. You can email us at hello@editaud.io. So that's hello@editaud.io. Or you can find us on our socials, @editaud_io on Twitter and @editaudio on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the future.